and gentlemen, would you please put your hands together for the one and only David Cassidy?
Remember some of these. Hello world is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of love in this world I've been bringing you. I'll make you happy. Partridge Family songs and David Cassidy solo stuff from the 70s, some from the 80s and 90s, but mostly the jewels that I hadn't played in many, many years. And I thank you so much for being here and coming with me for the last 41 years.
Oh,
Yes, I'm going to play my guitar. I'm not shy at all. Although I once was very shy, and from being able to perform all over the world for the last 40 years, it's been so humbling and so enriching in my life, artistically, creatively, but the connection that I've had with so many millions of people because of the music and the songwriters I got to work with and the people that I have, without my knowledge, being able to touch and inspire. I am truly humbled by that and by you all being there for me and giving me such a phenomenal life. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Need a pick for this. So this is a great song written by my dear late great. Be helpful if I turned up the volume. It's okay, I'm new at this. You can turn the monitor down just a hair with my guitar. And here's a song that I love so much that is about a little girl who got lost.
Suddenly she turned to me, she whispered in my ear.
Make it.
Love that song. I failed to mention the writer who had such an amazing influence on me and so many others around the world. He wrote some of the great early Partridge Family, and for me, he taught me a lot about painting pictures and about the way to communicate through a song. And this next song is my very first endeavor as a solo artist back in 1971 or two. I can't remember that far back. But it was my first triple platinum album on my own. And the title of the album is the title of the song, and it does reflect the way I feel about all of you on this amazing ride. Here it is.
Cherish is the word I used to describe. All this feeling that I have, I need for you inside. You don't know how many times I wish that I had told you. Don't know how many times I wish I could hold.
But I have to tell you that this past now 3 days, four if you count Thursday night after I flew in. I did the Today Show. There's a new book out called I Think I Love You, which was written by a brilliant writer and author called Allison Pearson, named Allison Pearson. Her first book was on the New York Times bestseller list, and they've just started filming rolling film with the lead actress, Sarah Jessica Parker, and I Don't Know How She Does It, I think is the title. Am I correct about that? Yes. And I surprised her because I Think I Love You has just come out, and it got a rave review in the New York Times and in the Washington Post. And it's not often that the New York Times and the Washington Post wants to talk to me. I'm not really sure why, but it's a little too highbrow, I'm afraid. Anyway, just to kind of say, I am very, very fortunate to have touched many people's lives. And the people that have touched mine are artists, writers, actors, my father, and this next gentleman who had a big hit when I was 13 years old with a brilliant song. And I have the honor and privilege of doing it with arguably, certainly in the top three symphony orchestras that belongs here in Omaha. Please put your hands together for this magnificent, unbelievable orchestra. And certainly not to go unrecognized is the comedy genius, ladies and gentlemen, of his own self, the maestro himself, Mr. Ernest Richardson. Come on. Honestly, no idea how fortunate you are to have such a brilliant, artistic, and creative orchestra here. And I know that it's... You ever have that problem? Let's not discuss that. No. No, let's not. Anyway, because the orchestra and the symphony, this particular place is only 5 years old, and there wasn't a symphony. It's not something that's been passed down from father to son, or grandfather to son, or to daughter. And it's important that for the sake of art, for the sake of the arts, and the culture, that this is kind of like a phenomenal secret you have going on here. I urge you all to talk and speak with your friends and say, we need to save the music in the world, because it's the finances for the arts. First it was physical education, gone. Then art, gone. Music, gone. So save the music and support the most fantastic experience that you and your kids and everyone else can have. Because of our politics these days, they don't view that as being important enough. And I can tell you now, without the music in my household and in school, I'd be never would be standing up here. So I urge you to tell everybody about it and support this magnificent, fantastic symphony orchestra. Oh boy, I love this song. I was 13 years old, and it was later, about 7, 8 years later, after it was a hit, it was used as an important element in the movie version of American Graffiti. This is starting to happen more often. Do you notice that, any of you? I'm not really sure where I'm going. Anyway, this is by the late, great Lenny Welch.
Just give love and never get love. You better let love depart. I know it's so. Yeah, I'm wrong. Get you out of my heart. guess I'll never see the light.
Seven to eight days, and I've been in six different cities until I arrived here, where this is my Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I can still count. Fourth day, and we head to Chicago tomorrow in the late afternoon to do an evening Valentine's show. And happy Valentine's Day to all of you out there. Fascinating story, one that has been repeated many times in my musical career, my recording career. I was the very first person to ever record this next song, and I co-produced the song with the author, writer, lyricist of the song, whose name is Bruce Johnston. I sang it live with 36 pieces in the magnificent old RCA building where so many hits were recorded. And we did it old school, as I used to record a lot, where I'd be in the vocal booth and the whole orchestra and rhythm section would be out in the studio. And in the vocal booth with me, I was very honored that my late great friend Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys, whose brother Dennis, and of course Brian Wilson, Dennis and Carl are past, but to sing live with Carl and with this orchestra, I can tell you now, the fact that it was a number one and top five in like 26 other countries, before it was ever released here in the United States, I had a meeting with the head of RCA and said, so? He said, it's not a hit here in America. I'm sorry, 26 other countries, not an American song. So about 48 hours later, Barry Manilow came out and it's the theme to his entire career. But my version is a very special, and they said that Barry's version was much more pop and radio friendly. Well, I'm not sure if that's the case, but I can tell you, I was the first to sing it. And those of you who are in some of those countries, did you ever hear my version of it? Yeah. Thank you both. Anyway, the album was a platinum album for me, and they chose to put out a song called Get It Up for Love. He got fired shortly after. Here it is. And this is an amazing arrangement. Vocal arrangements were done by Bruce Johnston, who co-wrote it and co-produced it with me. And the arrangement was done by Bob Alcibar. I think it was 1976, 75. I don't remember anymore.
Songs that make the whole special things. I write the songs that make those young girls cry. So when I look out through your open windows, you make me young again, even though I'm kinda getting old. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love, special, special things. And I wrote some rock and roll so you feel so good. Music's in your heart, it's a real fine place to start. It's in me, it's in you, it's in you, it's in me. A worldwide symphony. I write the songs, I write the songs that make songs of love, special things. I write the songs that make good young girls cry. I write the songs, I write the songs. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love, special, special.
I was just telling her that those string lines, the whole percussion, the whole horns and winds, and it's so thrilling. This is only the second time in my life, as of Thursday night, I made brand new charts arrangements for each and every one of the instruments here on each and every one of the songs. Brand new, and I had never heard them done until Thursday night when I flew in here. I came directly from the airport and I got to work and play. And I can tell you now, it's the most thrilling thing. I only did one of these once about 8 or 9 years ago, and my brain was not really into it. I had just done 2,000 shows in Las Vegas and produced a few shows and a movie and produced a television series, and I was kind of burned out, and I was thinking, I need to go back out and sort of, you know, dig in and get cool again, you know. And my mind was just not into it. And also, the symphony orchestra was nowhere near, believe it or not, it was just around the LA basin. And they had a good reputation, but the way these ladies and gentlemen and this orchestra plays, it's just thrilling for me. And I mean to say, anytime you guys want me to come back and hang with you and sing with you, I'll do it for nothing. So anytime, anytime. It's what I do, and to do it with you all is like, I got the chills. And there are very few things in life any longer, musically or creatively, theatrically, that makes me that excited and that moved. And this is one that, I don't know how to explain it, but these past three nights performing with you have been such a highlight for me. In spite of all the other work I've done, I would love to come back anytime, and if you want me to, please write and tell them, bring them back, okay? I'd love to come back.
Oh, God, what am I thinking?
This is a great story. It's another one of those stories. So, back in 1961 or two, the artist and the songwriter who was part of that whole Brill Building in New York, which was Barry Mann, Cynthia Weil, Jerry Goffin, Carol King, there were a number of great writers that were in the Brill Building. And this next writer, singer, entertainer, who was amazing, had a big pop hit with this. Well, the last big hit I had with the Partridge Family, we had a big pop hit with this. And I always loved the song the time I was like 11 years old. So I went in the studio and I did this sort of bluesy, cool arrangement, I thought. And I recorded it and I sent it to the publisher. What does the publisher do? He sends it to the writer and the artist. And no one's ever heard my version of it. But he came out and had a number one record with it, with my arrangement. So all I can say is the great Neil Sedaka wrote this song, and here is my arrangement of one of my last Partridge Family hits. You tell me that you're leaving. I can't believe it's true. Girl, there's just no living without you. Don't take your love away.
To do.
is right.
Well, you know, I guess I appeared a lot taller on television. I've come out so many times when the mic was, you know, set for me, and I'd come out and be up here. No, he's not 6 foot tall.
Might be a little loud.
Just a little. So I'm gonna sing some great songs. This was a recording I did spontaneously when I was recording in the UK in a little town called Wimbledon, where I got a number of hits and had great, great time. Wimbledon, of course, is not just a tennis court. It actually is a town just outside, and I used to live for a couple of years in Richmond, which is very close. And it's, you know, 8 miles from downtown London, if there is a downtown London, and it takes only like 2.5 hours to get there. The traffic in London is something serious. Anyway, I had some great moments there, and this was on my last platinum album, and 2003, I think, but it was written by one of my favorite songwriters, singers, and here's my version of it. the great Bill Withers. Okay, I have not really purposely, but I just decided I would do a couple of other of my hits. I didn't do yesterday or last night for the purpose of doing it for the... I need to acknowledge, there have been so many people that have been so incredibly supportive of me, and they have, for this particular show, because I've only done this once before, I've come from all corners of the world, from Asia, from the Netherlands, from the UK, from Germany, and I would just like to thank you all. Put your hands together, they've made travel for many, many, many thousands of miles. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate it. And all over the United States, from New York, and Las Vegas, and LA, yeah, just the best. What, don't, Australia?
Yes.
Oh, you are fantastic. Are you kidding me? Ah, got anything on the Barbie? Put some shrimp on the Barbie. Anyway, can't do it. Australian, so hard to do. Doesn't really matter very much, though. A little bit of Liverpool, it's not good anymore. Was once. I'm going to do a song that was a big hit, written by one of the Brill Building geniuses. For me, Mr. Jerry Goffin walked into the studio and said, "Here, I wrote a song for you." Feeling all right, Jerry? Yeah, I'm really excited. Anyway, it's a great song. You and I can say we can finally see each other. Will there come a time we can find the time to reach out for one another? We were driving in circles, such a long, long time, trying to say hello. Just let it ride to someone that I like to get to know. I'll meet you halfway. That's better than knowing. There must be some way to get us to. Thank you, Jerry Goffin and Wes Farrell. The reason I ended it there is because I have so many other great ideas that I'd like to share with you. And one of the most wonderful things is to be able to share the relationships and the people that have influenced me so much in my life. And arguably the most influential person musically outside of my family, my father, Jack Cassidy, certainly, for those of you who remember him. Amazing talent. My grandparents, my mother, Shirley Jones, certainly, very much so. And I'm gonna do just a little song that I do usually alone. I hope you don't mind just hanging out for another couple minutes. I'll do an abbreviated version. But I became very good friends with John Lennon in my life. And he and I got to play together. And after I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, I bought an electric guitar the next day, which was a Monday, because it was on Sunday night as a staple for 50 years or something. But I just kept playing, and I was playing in a lot of really bad garage bands and basements, but I learned a lot of the early Beatles songs. And John came to my house after getting to know him a little bit. He came over to my house with a mutual friend on New Year's Eve, 73 to 74. I think it's 73, 74. I don't know, because we were so drunk. I can't remember, actually. It might have been 74. Yeah, it was 74, 75. I've been lying all these years. See what I'm telling you? This is what happens? Huh? Anyway, here's a song that he and I played together. I'll do a little bit of it. And I got to sing a lot of Paul's parts. And he had forgotten a lot of these songs because they went on and on and on and on and on. And these were early stuff, so. Can I have a little more vocal level? Tiny. Little less guitar. Ah, you're wonderful. Thanks, Russ.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. Since she's gone, can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. Each and every day, I can hear them laugh at me, and I hear them say,
come on, say the word for and. There we go. Two, come on, everybody. Four. That's better. One. I want everybody to word what horses eat. One, two, three, four, sing it.
Hey! You got to hide your love away.
One more time. And.
Hey! You got to hide your love away.
Give yourselves a hand for that. That was great.
Baby, I'm a man of my word. me one more please. I could be your queen. Kiss me one more. Can't you feel my heartbeat? Can't you feel my heartbeat?